Alrighty, hello friends, welcome. It's Bowerly. Hey, it sure does look like early December out there, does it not? Not only does it look like it weather-wise, but have you noticed traveling, well, driving after work, after you get home, maybe grab some chow, and you try to get a little bit of holiday shopping in, you notice the increase, and where you really see the increase, and look, I'm biased because of where I live, and you live somewhere else, so you've got your own bias, but Transit Road in Williamsville on the weekends this time of year, forget about it. And Niagara Falls Boulevard in Amherst, Tonawanda, this time of the year, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, my goodness. Have fun with that. All right, Bowerly. And long story short, this is a show that I did not plan on doing today. And sometimes the best shows that you'll hear coming out of your radio are the ones where I listen to what people say and I proceed from there. And I was all set to get into something else, and I still am going to get into some other things, I'm sure, before the end of today's program. But just sitting there innocently enjoying lunch, and three different people send me texts. These are all people to whom I am close, and they all have various of the galloping cruds. Is that the proper plural? They have various of the galloping cruds that are going on in Western New York. And the one that is receiving a lot of attention, in particular with your kids, and I'd love to hear from parents of kids who are going through this, the hacking, coughing, galloping crud. There are a lot of people right now who, and it goes on, it lasts, as I understand it, a week, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, where it's meh. And it's tough. Then, of course, you've got the upper and lower GI issues. And we've all been there where you have the upper and the lower at the same time. And it never fails. You're wearing nice clothes. You're in a freshly cleaned automobile, and in addition to the upper and lower GI, you're blessed with a case of sneezing. And I don't want to go into detail on this. Don't try to hold in a sneeze when you've got lower and upper GI things going on. Don't try to hold that sneeze in. Trust me on that one. Don't ask questions. Just pretend I know what I'm talking about. All right, that was an embarrassing moment in life. The other one here is your home remedies. And I want to know what home remedies you whip out. And what's the deal with ginger? Because don't you know people, because I do, who swear by ginger as the heal-all, be-all, end-all of home remedies. And I don't know chemically why ginger does what it does, but I must tell you that, and again, this is personal opinion, maybe it's brainwashing, maybe it's advertising, but when I get a tummy ache, I whip out the Canada Dry ginger ale, and to me, that's what ginger ale is all about. What I don't like is Verner's, and I got into a conversation over the weekend with somebody, and they were a big fan of Verner's, and it almost came to blows. It almost became violent. It almost involved a horse collar tackle, but it didn't. Tempers were maintained. But Verner's, I know some of you love it. It's lost on me. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And those of you who aren't feeling well, I hope you'll feel well very, very soon. And you'll be happy to know that I feel great. So thank you for absorbing the first round, because I'm doing just fine. Here's Vinny on a cell phone. Vinny, what do you have for us? You're on WBEN.
Hi, good afternoon, Tom. Longtime listener. My home remedies is I start my day with a tablespoon of garlic through my multivitamins, and then I finish my night up because I have sleep apnea. I do horseradish before I go to bed, and it opens up the airways and lets me sleep without that stupid sleep apnea machine.
Oh, okay, now we're going to come to blows, Vinny. I'm afraid we must be men, and we must throw the gauntlet at each other, and somebody will write a book about us at some point, maybe a Broadway musical. Let's talk about CPAP machines, shall we, for just a moment?
Sure.
Here's a shocking statistic. Do you know what the compliance rate is for people who are prescribed CPAP machines for sleep apnea?
No.
30%. You, sir, are in the majority. 70% of people who are prescribed CPAP machines are unable or unwilling to wear them. And it is a shame. I'm one of the 30% that if I don't have my CPAP machine handy and I'm trying to sleep, I am not going to sleep, and it is not going to be a very good day right afterward. So I hear you about the CPAP situation. For me, I feel so much better with the CPAP machine that I can't stand being without it. In fact, traveling, my dear friend, traveling, the CPAP machine and the mask and the hose goes into the carry-on bag along with all the drugs, because it sounds fancier than it is. Blood pressure, cardiac drugs, all that kind of stuff. But the CPAP is very, very important. I am very curious about the horseradish remedy, because the tongue, like, you know how when you stick out your tongue, you see a few inches of tongue, unless you're Gene Simmons of Kiss? Well, the tongue, most of the tongue, you don't even see. It goes way, way down into what we might think of as your voice box.
Yeah.
And if you have sleep apnea, obstructive sleep apnea, your tongue can be a problem.
Well, I've been told I have a big tongue, but that's a different story. But
I dug out a giant hole, and then I just walked right into it, and I buried myself. Thanks a lot. You bested me, sir. You bested me.
No, but I haven't been sick in 25 years, and I believe a lot of it was to do with the garlic and horseradish and the multivitamins and stuff like that. I've been around people that had the COVID. I've been around people that had the flu and strep throat. And Tom, knock on wood, I have not been sick, like I said, 25 years.
Well, that is quite remarkable. Can we talk about garlic? Because, and by the way, we're going to talk with a real physician, because I get to play one on the radio, but we're going to talk with a real physician after 4:30 about this galloping crud stuff that is going around. Dr. James Harith is going to be with us from Kaleida, and he has generously offered to pay the bill for my last surgery. So, I'm kidding. But we're going to talk about it. But I want to get into the great garlic debate with you. Let's get back. We're talking about this galloping crud, which is going all over Western New York. And like I told you, I feel great. I really do. But unfortunately, a bunch of people I know have different versions of the galloping crud. Now, Vinny, on a cell phone, the other thing we're getting into here is like home remedies, which I tried getting into the other day, kind of like with supplements. But you are a big fan of garlic. Now, with a name like Vincenzo, I got to presume that you when you were born, you probably smelled like garlic. Am I correct?
I'm Italian descent, but I wasn't like spoon-fed garlic. How I got into the garlic routine, Tom, is years ago I developed this, I guess it's a fungus. My face blew up like a basketball.
Oh.
I got prescribed medicine from a doctor. It didn't work. I got a home remedy book. The home remedy book, every page in there recommended garlic. So I started down in garlic. And, I mean, I went through minced garlic, like two bottles of the stuff, and I could actually feel the swelling in my face go down. So ever since that happened, that was like 25 years ago, I've taken I start my day with a tablespoon of garlic. I do my supplements, and then I try and pack down food below it so I don't smell like a garlic factory when I walk around. And like I said, I haven't been sick in 25 years. I believe in it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was doing some, it's funny that you, sometimes I wonder if in some weird cosmic way, you guys and I are connected by some ethereal thread of mental agility. I don't know what I just said, but I was reading up on garlic, and there seems to be some debate as to whether garlic actually can reduce the clogging of the arteries, the arteriosclerotic plaque.
Yeah, I heard that too.
But have you read anything that has convinced you that 100% that's the real deal?
No, but like I said, Tom, I've been around people with COVID with all kinds of sicknesses, and I haven't been sick at all. And I believe in the garlic, and I've been good with it.
Well, I mean, I guess the question is, and we're not going to know the answer to this, would it be garlic to the exclusion of everything else? For example, you might have really good genetics. For example, your body may have an immune system that is finely tuned to keep out the galloping crud.
I hope so. Like I said, I try. I start with my garlic and the multivitamins. I try and walk every day, and then at the end of the night, I finish it up with horseradish, and helps me sleep through the night instead of putting a mask on. I can't get in love with the mask.
Are you married or single? What's the deal?
No, I'm married.
And horseradish before bed?
Yeah.
How often do you wake up alone the next morning?
Not too often, to be honest with you.
I was going to say, it's great for you, but your poor wife probably is cyanic and can't breathe. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I always, you know, I gargle and brush my teeth quite a bit every day. So, it's, like I said, I don't walk around with that stuff and, you know, breathing it out to people.
Would you allow me to make a suggestion?
Yeah.
That I learned from an honest-to-goodness Siciliano paisan? Parsley.
Sure.
Parsley, if you chew parsley, that can eliminate, I am told, a great deal of the garlic aroma that we all love.
Oh, wow, nice. I'll have to try it.
I mean, try it and see if it works. Try it and see if it works for you. I hope it does.
Yeah. Like I said, though, I do it first thing in the morning, and then I do my food after it. So, I mean, I went to my doctor the one day an hour after I had it, and he gets right in your face, and we're talking. I go, do you smell any garlic on me at all? He said, no, not at all. He says, I have a good sniffer. I was like, okay.
Vinny, if I had horseradish before bed, I would just be farting up a storm. I'm not going to lie. It would not be pretty.
Yeah.
Vinny, thank you very much. I appreciate it kindly.
Keep up the good work. My wife and I listen to your show all the time, and we enjoy you, and you're funny. And
well, you're very kind.
Keep up the good work.
Well, I'm glad you appreciate it. Thank you. That it means a lot. I definitely appreciate it. Thank you. It's 29 minutes after. Absolutely. Already am. It's 29 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, there is a show to be done at some point on the foods you can't eat because they generate gas that is absolutely epic. I've got to figure out a way to do that show and not run afoul of the puritanical FCC. But everybody's got something. Some people can't touch onions. Some people can't touch garlic or horseradish, or else bad things happen. I smell dead people, but there's nobody dead here. You might want to double check. It's 429 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Coming up, a real live doctor is going to talk about this stuff with us.
Tanner does listen.
Tanner Saunders behind the glass here at News Radio 930 WBEN. And welcome to the program. And if you're just joining us, one of the things that I really enjoy about what I do for a living is, and then again, sometimes I don't enjoy it, because remember, we were going to do, David Bellavia and I, we were going to do 4 hours on the 60th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination, but we had some tragic news that happened that day at the Rainbow Bridge. And unfortunately, you know, you talk about it being a small world, the people who died in that situation, they were good friends of good friends of mine. And I didn't know this at the time, but just a couple of evenings before the fatal accident, we were at the same restaurant as the people who would be dead in just a few days. And they were sitting in the corner table, and we were sitting in our reserved booth. And obviously cast a pall over a very good family, I might add, and a very loving family, I might add, and a whole bunch of people who really, really liked them. So deepest sympathies to the family. And again, it's just one of those small world situations, and they seem to happen an awful lot here in Buffalo and Western New York. And, you know, one of the things I started to say here is I love this, but sometimes when I plan things, something supersedes the plans that I had made. And this is one of those days, because usually, take you behind the scenes here, you guys, sometimes you made fascinated by what happens behind the scenes at the radio station, okay? And usually, I like to give Tim Wenger a heads up on what's going to be on his radio station for 4 hours in the afternoon. He especially loves it when I do it at about 5 minutes to two. But anyway, the situation is I like to tell Tim where I plan on taking the show direction-wise. And everything got thrown out the window today, because right before I came on the air, and this is honest to goodness truth, why would I make something like this up? I'm not going to lie to you guys. That's just stupid. But I'm sitting there, and I'm trying to dine on a very basic lunch, I might add. And suddenly, I receive texts from three different people to whom I am close, all of whom have various degrees and various symptoms of the various galloping cruds, that's a medical term, I believe, which are going on in Western New York right now. And I'm not a doctor, but do you know who is? Well, lots of people, actually. But one of my very favorites is Dr. James Harreth, who was on with us extensively during the pandemic situation. And I want to get an update from the doctor here about what it is we are looking at and why we seem to be looking at it so early in the season. And when I say it, I mean the wintertime sickness, not to be confused with the WHO's summertime blues. Dr. James Harreth, thanks very much. I really appreciate your time on short notice.
Hello, Tom. Hey, no problem. Thank you for the wonderful introduction. But yes, no, it seems like we have been in full swing with regarding the winter viruses at this time.
Hey, you know, I thought for sure that you were going to walk me through how to do it myself, hernia surgery on the air today. I had my razor blade all set to go, my mesh all set to go. Apparently there's been a miscommunication here. I was going to do the surgery live on the air. But all right, so let's talk about the stuff that is going around. First of all, the respiratory situation. Doctor, I think we all know people who have been hacking up a storm for two and a half, 3 weeks. What's up with that?
Yes. No, so, and in particular, we are seeing quite a bit of RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, especially in our pediatric population. And, you know, I think I was saying before, children seem to be like fomites when it comes to passing on their different infections. But no, we are seeing a number of RSV patients over at Children's. And, you know, for especially for the young patient population, you know, we're talking like even less than two, those individuals could be, you know, on a ventilator, if there's, especially if they have severe symptoms. But for adults, yes, you're going to have fever, you're going to have cough, and in particular cough that could last a couple of weeks. Now, in some for some people, that viral illness can also trigger some, almost like asthma-like symptoms, so some bronchospasms, some wheezing too. So you could be getting better from the virus itself, but then start having some trouble with some bronchospasm as well. Now, on top of that, and what we haven't seen a whole lot of as of yet is going to be influenza. So I'm currently in the ICU now over at Buffalo General, and I'm not seeing any influenza right now. But concern with influenza would be if you get over influenza or in the middle of it, you could get a bacterial superinfection on top of that.
Ooh, what are the mechanisms of that, if you could explain that in layman's words that a moron like myself can understand?
Oh, no problem. Yeah, so what happens with a virus is that it's going to create inflammation. So we were designed, our airways were designed in order to be able to protect us from, you know, viruses and bacteria, and, you know, that lining, you know, of our airways is usually intact. But if it becomes inflamed and infected from a virus, it's then opened up a little bit microscopically. And then that's where the bacteria that could incidentally be introduced, whether it's normally in our nose, in our mouth, and we just kind of just cough wrong or inhale our own spit the wrong way, that's the point where those pathogens, those bacteria, then get down into that warm, dark, moist environment where they're going to want to thrive. So, and in particular, it's going to be methicillin-resistant Staph aureus. That's usually the real tough combination of influenza and MRSA together. And it's the community MRSA versus the MRSA in the hospital.
Warm, wet, and moist. Not good.
Yeah, I can really describe it, can I?
Yes, you certainly can. Certainly not a good combination for one's lungs. So I guess I'm a little bit confused. Are we talking with these hacking fits that people are having right now? Are we talking about something that is viral in nature, bacterial in nature, or both?
So, you know, that's a really a good question. So normally, many times, it's initially viral in nature. And when it comes to diagnosis, it comes down to history. So if it's like a thunderclap so fast, it's like, oh my gosh, I feel absolutely, you know, awful. And it's this, you know, this cough and mucus and then maybe even pain in one part of your chest. That could be initially a bacterial infection, a bacterial pneumonia. Whereas, and if it's kind of gradually starts with, you know, the runny nose, the cough, and then gets worse, then it's usually viral to start. But what we have to watch out for is when the viral then progresses to a bacterial superinfection. So you might actually start getting a little bit better, and then all of a sudden, boom, something hits you. It's really tough in the morning. And that's, you know, we always want to ask that history. It's like, hey, were you getting better, but then got worse again? Then we're thinking, okay, this isn't probably just viral. This is probably bacterial. We may need to treat this with antibiotics. Whereas in with many viruses, there's not much we can do other than prevent them with vaccine or treat symptoms. But with influenza, we have some treatments for influenza, and for COVID, for outpatient, we can do something like Paxlovid.
Well, I'm just saying, Dr. Harris, that you know at some point I'm going to hit you up for Cipro by the time the interview was over. Just to see her wear. I'm just kidding, because Dr. Harith is well aware of my affinity for Cipro, because I found Cipro to be such an efficacious antibiotic, not just for lower GI issues and traveler's diarrhea, but also for various lung things that, well, we're talking about it right now. We have a real live doctor with us on the phone, Dr. James Harith, and he is with Kaleida, and he's a great guy. He helped us out a lot during COVID, and we're talking about the various galloping cruds, which I think if my friends are coming down with it, your friends are coming down with it too, and you might be suffering from it right now. Talking about the various ailments that seem to be in great abundance and stubborn. They just aren't going away in Western New York. And like I said at the beginning of our conversation here, the way I look at it, if three people to whom I'm close all text me within about an hour period, maybe a little bit less, with all kinds of different ailments, I say to myself, you know what? There's probably a show here, because there's probably thousands of people going through the same thing between themselves and their families. So let's get back to the whole viral versus bacterial etiology of this chest congestion.
Hello. Yes. So.
Yes.
So it comes down to symptoms and timing many times. So if it's, your basic feeling a little bit run down, mostly runny nose, cough, many times that's going to be viral. Now you get to the point where it's a little bit deeper. It's lasting a little bit longer. You're having a tough time breathing. There's more mucus that's coming up, and maybe even if you're susceptible, let's say you may be immunocompromised, then you would be more susceptible to be developing a bacterial pneumonia, especially this time of year. And if you're immunocompromised, hopefully you've got a primary care physician or primary care provider who's following you, knows your history, and can probably be able to follow along with you, especially in during these respiratory seasons, then maybe check up on you and say, hey, look, with these particular symptoms, maybe you do need an antibiotic, maybe you do need a chest x-ray for us to evaluate that a little bit closer.
Doctor, I know what a busy man you are. You're not just a doctor, but you're a dad, you're a husband, you got a very busy schedule. Might I prevail upon you to stay with us after the news at 5 to give us some more information on this? Because I'm getting the distinct feeling, based on emails and texts that I'm getting, that this is of great interest to a lot of people. Are you able to hang out?
Sure. I'd be happy to do that.
All right, that's excellent. Dr. James Harith is with us, and it's going to be about a 10-minute wait, Doc, so you can hang up and call back, and or you can just stay with us and listen to the magnificent sounds of News Radio 930 WBEN. By the way, I want to point something out to you that is very important to me, and it's important to the SPCA serving Erie County, important to Gina Latuca and her husband Joel, and Gina's mom and dad, and all of us here in Western New York. Mark your calendar. The SPCA Radiothon returns on Wednesday, December 13th. This year, the SPCA serving Erie County will open its adoption floor early, 9:30 a.m. Get it? For anyone looking to adopt a friend on this special day. Enjoy half off adoption fees or take part in their Vets and Pets program on this day only. Visit our event page at WBEN.com for details and how to donate. And we are looking very much forward to that program coming up, as we just mentioned, on News Radio 930 WBEN. And one of the things I think you'll find about people who work here at the radio station, myself, Tim Wenger, David Bellavia. If we do something like this for the SPCA serving Erie County, we make our own donations. We don't ask you to make a contribution while we sit back and just count the money. We are ourselves actively involved in raising money for the SPCA serving Erie County because it is an excellent cause, and they do so much great work, and it's always a pleasure and a privilege helping out the SPCA serving Erie County. And I don't know, I think I'll torture Gina a little bit and see if we can't get her on the air for about 2 hours at a time. I hope she's listening because she's saying, you've got to be kidding me.